There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you along on this Friday. And y'all say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good. And what are the high holidays of dudes making sure they've got their gift purchasing done is happening this weekend? What is that?
Well, that's Mother's Day on Sunday. And by the way, this is Mother's Day Eve for people like you and me. So you've got a good 24 hours before you have to come by and say hey.
But be safer about it and go buying today. Talk about what you have, you know, to entice us in there. Items for mom. What's hot? What would you suggest?
You think about this. As dads, we have to end up helping the kids get a mom gift, and then we also have to get a mom gift for her, and then for mom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're really loaded down with, we need to really cover this. And sometimes the budget is a little rough because the kids want to buy something with their own money. Mm-hmm. Well, we can help with that. We've got rings and earrings and bracelets starting off at around $12. And these aren't costume jewelry pieces. These are nice sterling silver pieces of jewelry all the way up to that, what do we call that, that wow factor, that really impressive gift. We've got every level of that. And if you just wanted to stick with something cool and engravable like a silver round or an I love you heart, we have those available as well, and those can be customized with engraving.
All right, so that means y'all go in today and get that done at Mobile Bay Coins. Give people directions.
We're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can also watch and follow us on Facebook, check out some of that cool jewelry there, or check out the new website, mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thanks, Angelo. We'll see you in, well, tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right, Angelo, check it in for Mobile Bay Coins. And in studio, so Terry, at last time we were here, we did like part one. Terry Breitung, you're just joining us from Azalea City Hand and Rehab, Jennifer Atkins, and also from Alabama by... Colorado by way of Alabama, back to Alabama. Does that sound right, Kelsey?
Yeah,
Kelsey is in studio, one of Terry's sons in here, who is farming the hemp, making the CBD product vertically integrated out in Colorado, which is cool. Your business, Azalea City Hand and Rehab, a lot of people are asking here, is it, can you give them an address, contact info? Instead of me responding to every one of these texts, just tell them.
Yeah, well, I'm located off South Sage Avenue. It's 316C. South Sage Avenue is right behind the Regions Bank, right off of behind Regions Bank, the second building. It's a white and blue sign that says Azalea City Hand Rehab and Physical Therapy. Phone number 251-470-7772. 470-7772.
All right, let's grab a couple calls here, too. Michael is in Spanish Fort. You're on with the full crew, but it says you're a patient.
I have been a patient of Terry's for years. Haven't seen him in a while, but great guy with great results. Terry, hope you're doing well, my friend.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, man. It's been a long time.
It has. John, just give you a little bit of my story, and Terry has written letters for me. And I have six screws in my neck, three plates, three lumbar herniated discs, bursitis on my hip. And I've got a lung disease called sarcoidosis, which causes pain all over your body. So I am
Michael,
one...
Michael, man. Yeah. Wow. That's tough, man.
I had to spit it all out because I knew I'd leave something out. But long story short, I'm on high-dose steroids, which have eaten away my hips. So at 48, I've got to get a double hip replacement.
Oh, my.
And I went out to Jewish Hospital in Denver that specializes in sarcoid. And the first thing they told me to do was try the CBD oil with the THC in it. because I've got to get my liver enzymes checked monthly, and I cut my pain medication, opioid, in more than half.
Wow. That's awesome.
Now, back in the States, I can't do that, obviously, but the product that Terry sells, the CBD, actually, I cut it for more than half. That actually has made me cut my meds back about half.
Unbelievable.
Outstanding.
That product works, and there is no doubt about it, and I just hope the state of Alabama does not mess this up.
And Michael, I appreciate your testimony there.
And Michael, thank you so much for calling in. You need to come by and see me, man. I've hadn't seen you in a while.
I do. Some days are better than others, but anybody wanting to go to see Terry, he is remarkable. I've been to people all over the United States, John Hopkins, Jewish, you name it, and Terry's first class, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's talking about.
Michael, thank you so much. I appreciate that testimony, my friend.
That's
y'all take care. John, love the show, my man. Keep it up.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you calling in, and you're in my thoughts, man. Wow. I mean, you listen to that, and makes, you know, the day I complain when I get out of bed that my knee's sore or something like that, somebody's free to make my knee sore by kicking it. David in Mobile, you're on. What's your question?
I was curious as to whether they've had any patients with PMR, polymyositis rheumatica, that have taken this product.
Ooh, I don't think so. I'm not even quite sure. Can you explain basically what that diagnosis is real quick?
Okay. To the best of my understanding, it's a disease that the doctors say is incurable, although it can be put into remission. When my wife was first discovered with it, they put her on prednisone, high doses of prednisone. And since then, they've switched over to methotrexate, which is basically a medicine used, as you know, for cancer. And she's always in pain. Some days are better than others. And I was just curious as to whether, you know, they had tried it on patients that have that or not.
Is that a rheumatological disease?
I think it does affect that to a certain degree, but it's not just like in the joint. It's also in the muscles.
Okay, so it's musculoskeletal, and it is systemic, right? I mean, it can go all over her body, right?
Oh, yes. When she has a flare-up, she really doesn't know where it's going to affect her. The doctor has told her that, you know, in the event that it did affect her heart or possibly around her, in her head, that it could be fatal.
Well, I can tell you this. I think it's worth a try. I mean, to try on some CBD, because it's not going to offset any of her current meds that she's taking now, and I really believe that it would help her joint pain and her musculoskeletal pain.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. I will pass along that information to her and see if she can set up an appointment.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in.
Appreciate that, David. Thank you. We're going to be up against a break, and 6.5 stories coming up with Dalton Orwig. So we are out of time for this time, which just means you got to come back soon. All right, come back. And people, once again, tell them where you are again, because they're all asking me right now. Where they find you?
Azalea City Hand and Rehab and Physical Therapy, 316C South Sage Avenue. It's phone number is 251-470-7772.
All right, very good. And we're coming right back with 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. And of course, this will post up in podcast form. You'll be able to get it probably in the next hour or 2 hours if you want to share this show. And once again, we'll ask more questions next time. Terry and the crew are in here. Thank you, Terry, Kelsey, Jennifer, everybody. Thank you very much. Come back and do it again soon. And we'll catch news with News 5 next. Dr. Bill's forecast on the way. Rain for this weekend.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. And it's time for 6.5 stories in just a second with Dalton Norwig. A reminder to Cottage Hill Package, cottagehillpackage.com, and Cottage Hill Package on Facebook. If you're thinking about some odds and ends here for Mom for Mother's Day, maybe she likes a fine wine. Maybe Mom's into craft beer, or she wants a bottle of spirits, or there's some moms out there that smoke a cigar.
Yeah, stogie moms we call them.
Stogie mom. You pick those up. The nice thing is, too, while you're doing your Mother's Day shopping, you may pick something up for yourself as well. Huge selection of craft beer, of course, fine wines, spirits, and that gigantic humidor with thousands of cigars waiting to be explored. Right there, Cottage Hill Package Corner, Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online, cottagehillpackage.com. And I think the best way to follow it, go like them on Facebook at Cottage Hill Package, because you'll get updates on different specials they have, different events they have going on. It's Cottage Hill Package, but the tastiest way, I'd say, is to show up and see them in person today or tomorrow. Get ready for Mother's Day on Sunday. All right, it is time for 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig, and there they are.
Man, band sounds tight.
Yeah, they're good this week. Our in studio band with the fanfare. 6.5 stories, accumulation of all those stories that I missed during the week that Dalton didn't miss. His dragnet picked up these stories that just did not make it into Midday Mobile or Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, somehow I went into the wide expanse known as the internet and found seven stories that was not covered by you on Midday Mobile or on Mobile Mornings.
All right, so let's go with this.
Okay, yeah, so we start this week with a few stories out of the Silicon Valley.
Okay.
The home of tech out in California. And, you know, Facebook been in the news a whole lot.
Yes.
First off, privacy concerns. And Zuckerberg, I know he's been to Washington a lot lately, in front of different panels and congressional committees. And so privacy is a big issue, but also what kind of groups are allowed on Facebook. Extremist groups.
Right. Yes.
Designated terrorist groups.
Yes.
And Facebook in hot water again. You know how on Facebook, I don't know if you've seen, when you've been friends with somebody for a certain amount of time.
Your friendsiversary thing?
Yeah, your friendsiversary, and also on your birthday, because Facebook knows usually if you've input the information, even if you haven't, they probably know when your birthday is.
Yes.
But on your birthday, they like to send a nice little video of where you've been and some of the
right. Here's your year in review or whatever.
And you look, oh, that's when we went and had mimosas. Yes. On Sunday,
right.
Me and my friends. And,
right.
Well, they do that for everybody, okay? And now they're in hot water. Yeah, it's not just you. You're not special.
Dang it.
But now a video has been released where they sent a happy birthday video, one of those that shows the year in review. And this user's name, Abdel Rahim Mosa, the Caliphate, okay? That's
as in, like, ISIS?
As in, I believe, ISIS. That's right. This video from Facebook sent to this user begins with a photo of the black flags of jihad. And then seconds later, it says, flashes highlights of a year of social media posts featuring plaques of anti-Semitic verses, talk of retribution, and photos of two men carrying more jihadi flags while they burn the American flag. And that's all before saying, thanks for being here. From Facebook.
Right, have a picture. So what the contrast is, that kind of wacky, hey, here's your year, happy birthday.
Yeah.
And then, at the end of it has the balloons that go up or whatever.
The thumbs up that Facebook gives you.
Yes,
and, you know, normally, I mean, if it's me or you, you'll see pictures of the family.
Yeah, doing whatever.
The dog running around at the dog park. Not jihadists burning American flags, which is exactly what this was sent. And so this is making big news because Facebook has been talking about the extremist groups how they're doing everything they can to keep them off, and they're actually able to stop most of these groups that have been designated as terrorist groups from being online there on Facebook. But the truth is, there's been whistleblowers complaining to the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, that they're actually not doing as good of a job as they say they're doing. So this complaint, they said over a five-month period last year, researchers monitored pages by users who've affiliated themselves with groups that the U.S. State Department has designated as terrorist organizations. In that period, 38% of the posts with prominent symbols of extremist groups were removed. Only 38%. The AP did their own review, Associated Press. They found that as of this month, much of the banned content that was cited in the study, including an execution video, images of severed heads, and propaganda honoring martyred militants, all slipped through that algorithm that Facebook
said. Yeah, but they got Alex Jones.
Yeah, they went ahead. They got Alex Jones.
But they didn't get the people beheading people.
No, they got who's the actor? James Woods. They went ahead and knocked him off Twitter. But Facebook, who says they've been catching all of these different terrorist groups, only catching about 38%.
So they get James Woods, but the people cutting people's heads off.
Making it through.
That video makes it through.
And the AP and this whistleblower said, you know, it's actually pretty easy. I know they have their algorithm set up, but if you just search for certain keywords, pretty easy to find these groups. They said this study from the whistleblower and from, I guess, the AP, a separate study, far from comprehensive, and that's because Facebook rarely makes much of its data publicly available. They said the researchers involved in the project say the ease of identifying the profiles using a basic keyword search and the fact that so few of them have been removed suggests that Facebook's claims that its systems catch most extremist content are not actually accurate.
I actually believe it's probably a blending. I know there's a lot of people that believe it's all just politically based, and that's why they catch one and not the other. But I think a lot of it is they're not as good at the job as people think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it shows.
Well, people are reaching out and saying, hey, this James Woods and hey, this Alex Jones, they're causing harm to our democracy. I guess people aren't reaching. And Facebook says, oh, they are? Okay, yeah. And Twitter's saying, oh, they're causing harm to the. Okay, well, we'll take them off, just like you ask. But maybe no one is sending in except for this whistleblower saying, hey, look, by the way, Jihadi Jim, because they got Jihadi John,
yeah.
You got this guy over here who's posting videos of their martyrs, their jihadist martyrs, and their executions that they're putting, and you're not taking them down. For some reason, they're slipping through the grasp of Facebook.
Oh, wow.
But that all culminates in a happy birthday to Abdel Rahim Musa from the caliphate.
Disgusting.
Yeah, pretty bad. Staying in Silicon Valley, this former Netflix creative director, I don't know if you've seen this, so this guy, he's worked on a bunch of different Netflix shows, like he's a promoter. He's mm-hmm. helped promote House of Cards, Stranger Things, and Narcos. Now he's moved into his own brand, completely separate from Netflix, and he's actually gathered a lot of funding, $1.6 million in fresh money coming in to this guy's name, Mike Cesario. He's co-founder and CEO of Science Inc., and he's ready to bring this new drink to market. It's called Liquid Death.
Tequila.
You would think. You'd think maybe beer? You'd think maybe
Life.
It's actually...
Beer is life.
It's served in a tall boy can, and Liquid Death from this company is actually just good old-fashioned H2O.
Oh.
He's selling water in a tall boy can and calling it Liquid Death.
If he's listening out there, a friend of mine today, what did I tell you 20 years ago? I said we were going to start putting water in cans and selling it for big money. The bottles were out, that people wanted that aluminum flavor when they had their water. We were going to say it was H2O-rific. I didn't think about the Liquid Death part.
Yeah, and you know, Liquid Death, he says that it comes from his background playing punk and heavy metal music, which, you know, the punk and heavy metal bands probably actually frown on anyone that sells bottled water.
Right.
Anarchy.
But in a tall boy can. But in a can, you take something like water and you de-chic it.
Right. If you're out at the Vans Music Festival, maybe it looks a little cooler than you are, even if you're only hydrating.
Yes. You crush the can.
With a $5 can of water. He's got a lot of people backing him, though. The Dollar Shave Club founder and CEO Michael Dubin, he's put money in. Twitter co-founder Biz Stone and Jen Rubio, whoever she is, says she's the co-founder of Away. I'm not really sure what that is, but he said his new drink, Liquid Death, it speaks to the quote extreme straight edge punk crowd that abstains from alcohol and drugs. But that's where we're going now.
Henry Rollins kind of folks.
yeah, with the X's on the taped X on their arms. And
I mean, this is funny because they're saying for the extreme sports, honest to goodness, I wish I had recorded this to come back and tell you I'm not making this up, that it was, you know, I talked about this this movement here for canned water 20 years ago, and I said it was going to be extreme, like it'd be extreme sports, and people were like, man, throw me one.
From the top of the vert ramp.
That's right. Boom, man, that's great water.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that.
Well, it's come to fruition. Liquid Death now, and I don't know. I know capitalism, if they're going to buy it, they'll buy it, but come on.
Liquid Death.
It rubs me the wrong way for some reason. All right, we'll stay out in California for story number three, where California firefighters now getting some people to help out. You know, they've had wildfire issues there for a long, long, long time now.
They need some Liquid Death.
They do. They need a million cans of Liquid Death to pour on the raging wildfires. Instead, they're trying to do a little prehab, a little maintenance of the woods,
good,
of the grass before wildfires get into
please
the area.
Please tell me they're doing prescribed burns.
Almost, they're doing prescribed eating because the Ventura County Fire Department releasing hundreds of goats next week.
Not a bad idea either if you can't. Burns best, but yeah.
Releasing the goats north of L.A. to eat dead brush that could eventually become fuel for fires. Captain Ken Van Wig from the Ventura County Fire Department says, they'll eat until we like the way the landscape... He sounds like he's holding a prisoner here. They'll eat until we like the way the landscape looks, and then we'll move them into another area. They are very effective, which...
He's right.
Yeah, if you've goats ever driven up Highway 43 or...
Yeah, where there's goats, you can see the browse line in the woods where the goats are. Yeah, or like Piney Woods cattle, there's a couple of longhorned cattle breeds that do the same thing. Yeah, they're... That's really pretty effective. I mean, burning is best, but get you some goats.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people...
Good made, for them. That's not a bad thing that California did.
A lot of people made fun of the president last year when... And maybe it was poor timing on his part, mm-hmm. but saying that they need to get rid of some of that brush. What he mm-hmm. said, they need to rake is the word that he used. Yes. But, I mean, using goats out there to eat dead brush, not far off from that theory to try to limit the wildfires. Of course, they've had some really awful wildfires there over the last few years that have killed a lot of people. But the captain saying it's just another tool in the toolbox. This time it's goats in the toolbox.
A good goat will do that.
All right, story number four here. And this, you know, I'll read the headline.
You're taking pause here. I'm worried.
Okay, I'll read the headline and you'll see something. You'll picture it in your mind when I read the headline. But I'll tell you, it's nothing like you think it is. University of Georgia sprinter hospitalized after being impaled by a javelin.
Oh.
Yeah, so you think that maybe he was standing out there in the track, maybe waiting for his turn, and someone threw a javelin during the javelin throwing.
Hey, Bob, look over here. Oh,
right, and he's accidentally caught by one. Well, 19-year-old Elijah Godwin, running backward on the infield, thrown javelin.
Oh.
He backed into a javelin that was sticking out of the ground. You'd think they would have put the sticky part into the ground.
It dulls it, man.
Yeah, well, javelin entered his body just below his shoulder blade. They had to do that move that you've probably seen in some horror movies and some war movies where they had to cut the javelin off, off before they could take him
but
to the hospital.
But is a javelin barbed?
Because,
you know, the reason if you do that with a fish hook, push it the whole way through, or cut it off, pull back, it's because of the barb, right? That prevents it from coming back.
Well, no, I don't think it is, because they got to take it out of the ground every time after it's thrown.
It's not. I'm so South Alabama going, well, you know, like a frog gig, if they had a frog gig point on it or a flounder point.
Yeah, so maybe they were just doing that to be safe, to go ahead and cut it. Or maybe they wanted him to look cool with a javelin and a quarter foot of the pole sticking out the back of him.
Oh, man.
It was pretty close call. He had a punctured and collapsed lung, according to his mother. He is expected to make a full recovery. But backing into the javelin blade, I mean, I've ran into, like, the end of the bed or dresser mm-hmm. and felt stupid. Imagine running, being a track athlete and running into the javelin.
You know what, like, in household dangers, where they're always looking at household dangers, the corner of a metal frame bed... You know what I'm talking about, where it's just a metal frame under
there? Yeah.
You hit that.
Ooh. Yeah, that's how I snapped my pinky toe.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I learned to combine interesting strings of bad words together to create new ones. Okay, coming right back. More 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orrig right here on the Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Heads up, best beer event on a lawn. Is there a category in the nappies for best beer event on a lawn?
No, but I know who would win.
Yeah, that's right. It's 99 bottles of beer on the lawn at Southern Napa. Daphne's 7th Annual Beer Festival. That is happening tomorrow. 99 different beers to sample from Mobile, Baldwin County, Alabama, the Southeast, around the world as we zoom back out and see all these different places that we're going to get to taste beers from, plus live music, a food truck, pet adoption from Baldwin Humane Society. Here's how the deal works. Tickets are, and you get to sample 99 beers, okay? So it's well worth your value. Tickets are $35. Available online at southernnapa.com. But we got a discount for you. So my buddy Jim Cox is giving FM Talk 106.5 listeners a chance to save $5 per ticket. You got to use promo code FM Talk. Okay, so just when you go to southernnapa.com, southernnapa.com, and go on there and you go to buy your ticket where it has the promo code slot. Make sure to put in Frank Mike Tango Alpha Lima Kilo, FM Talk. Just not even 1065, just FM Talk. You'll save $5 per ticket when you use that promo code. And then come on out tomorrow and sample the finest 99 beers available in Alabama from 1 to 4 tomorrow at the 7th annual 99 Bottles of Beer on the Lawn event, Saturday afternoon, Southern Napa in Daphne. It is a great time. We'll see you there. Part of just a great weekend of activities going on. But get out there and be part of it tomorrow starting at 1. But buy your tickets now, southernnapa.com, and make sure to use that promo code FM Talk and save $5 per ticket. All right, we continue with 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. We're definitely on the back nine now, right?
Yeah, we're on story number five now, mm-hmm. and with Mother's Day coming up in just a couple days on mm-hmm. Sunday, I figured this would be a good time to break this story out, and found it on the Chive, but they actually kind of gathered these from Reddit, and I know the moms out there will appreciate these, okay. and I know the dads will too. Hopefully everyone appreciates this
something
story.
For everyone.
Something for everyone, and it's the name of this article is The Moment That Parents Realized, Oh, my God, I have raised an idiot. Now, I think a lot of people have thought that.
Yes, my parents did early on.
And yeah. it usually doesn't turn out that way. Most of the time, kids turn back, and they right. actually end up doing some pretty smart things later in life. But there's right. always that moment for someone. Like, for instance, for me,
yes.
I know my mom probably thinking back. We went camping in we had an RV that we rented one weekend, and we went camping.
Okay.
And it was my turn to go use the shower in the back. And she said, here, use this as a bath towel. And I went, okay. I thought by bath towel she meant put this at the bottom of the bath and shower. Use it so you don't slip there in the bathtub.
When and you it was put actually, the towel and
yeah,
soaked
I put
it.
I soaked it, put it on the end. So that was my, oh my God, I've raised an idiot moment. But here's some really good ones. And I know, Sean, you'll probably be able to relate to at least this first one
okay.
immediately. This guy from Reddit says, I used to tell my kids not to take their shoes and socks off in the car, especially on short trips. Just leave them on so we don't have to spend 5 minutes finding and putting them back on before
preach.
We run into the store.
Preach.
One day we went to the store and my daughter was missing her shoe. It was nowhere to be found. She said, Daddy, I did not want you to be mad. She's 5 years old. She said, Daddy, I did not want you to be mad that my shoe was off, so I threw it out the window. didn't want to get in trouble for not having the shoes on.
Right. So
get rid of the evidence.
Evidence, right.
Yeah, just go ahead and throw it out the window.
Sure, the child's last name wasn't Sullivan.
It might have been. Another one, this person on Reddit says, when my son was 11 years old, he confidently informed me that he was pretty sure he knew everything there was to know because he tried to think of something that he did not know and could not think of anything.
Classic.
This one has those, you know, the daughters yelling and arguing with other daughters.
Yeah.
And it happens with sons, too. But she says, one of my daughters tries to insult the other by telling her how ugly she is. Unfortunately, they're identical twins. So that doesn't work out. This Reddit user, when I asked my 14-year-old if she could please bring me a piece of cake, she cut it, forgot why, and then went ahead and ate that piece of cake that she wanted
yes,
to get.
Yes, that kind of stuff happens at our house.
When my youngest son, who was 10 at the time, was getting his ears checked at the pediatrician, they found a foreign object in his left ear. That said object turned out to be a dead housefly. He thought sticking a fly in his ear would give him flying powers.
Said he seems logical.
Caught the fly and put it in there a week earlier. This one, a little bit older daughter. This woman says her daughter called her and said, there's a cop behind me with his lights on. What should I do? you pull over.
Pull over?
That's what you do. A couple more that I really liked here. Told my kid that carrots help you see in the dark. He went to the basement with a carrot and started waving it around like a flashlight. And maybe the best one here, I think maybe a lot of us out here have done this. My 13-year-old son was sniffing really hard and moving his head all around the area that he was standing in. Slightly concerned that he had lost his mind, I asked him what he was doing. He told me, I pooted. I'm trying to smell it all up so that you don't have to smell it.
She's trying to inhale the methane.
Yeah, he's trying to get it all out of the air there where he's standing. So
if I could only have considerate children that would try that.
Yeah, I hope the moms out there appreciated that.
That's good stuff.
Hopefully
right
you're
there.
Thinking back to your children and instances that they've done where you've thought, oh, my God, I might actually be raising an idiot.
Yes, well, those hit home, yes.
All right, story number six here, and pretty cool feat here for a guy from Durham, North Carolina. Been driving around his 2000 Honda Accord for a very long time and just reached the 1 million mile mark in his 2000
Holy cow.
Honda Accord. He's a self-employed vehicle inspector.
Okay.
Makes sense, so he knows what to look for when the car starts to break down. Says he travels across the state to various shops and dealerships. Estimates he logs about 65,000 miles a year. And he said he bought the car brand new in Raleigh, North Carolina. Again, it's a 2000 Honda Accord. He said it's been absolutely phenomenal. I still average anywhere from 440 to 460 miles out of a tank of gas. Said it became his primary work vehicle in 2006 when his wife purchased a new car, which I would bet you she's still driving around that 2006 model that she bought back then. He said, I've put a little over 800,000 miles on it myself, and he recently hit 1 million miles while driving in Fayetteville. And I don't know if you've done this when you've almost reached certain milestones in your car. I've done it. He said, I pulled over when it got to 999,999, took a picture, and I started to drive, and I'm waiting for the odometer to hit a million, and it doesn't. It stops right there at 999,999. So I guess it didn't cross over the million mark on the odometer. It just tapped out there at 999,999.
I guess it wouldn't, because it wouldn't have the extra it would need one more space to do the million.
He said he's replaced the engine twice over the last 19 years at 375,000 miles, and at 695,000, he's replaced the alternator, starter, and the compressor. He was a former automotive technician, but he crossed the million-mile mark.
Wow. Pretty cool. Wow. Okay, so that's an Accord. That's one of the vehicles that will definitely make those lists. Those things are reliable. Also, you know, I'm a fan of Toyota Tacomas. If you look online, there's a couple of Tacomas that have done a million as well. Yeah, and they got like parties for them and all that stuff doing a million miles. And I think you might see more of that if Americans just didn't get tired of that vehicle. And you got to be somewhere where you drive a bunch of miles in a year to make that up, because you know, after a while, something will happen. Just in odds of, you know, if you keep a vehicle 30 years, it'll probably be. The safety equipment will change. It'll be something other than the engine, maybe, that fails.
And this guy, he does give some good tips, and a lot of us will hear these tips and still not follow them. Of course, the importance of regular oil and filter changes, he says, matters. But he said, probably one of the biggest things is I don't drive cars hard. Every car that we own or have owned, I typically drive it in a non-aggressive manner. I don't do jackrabbit starts.
And and it's something that I fight with myself, because I do, and I'm not driving wildly, but I do get on the accelerator, and then I watch people that get the most out of them, and they don't do that. They just feather everything.
Yeah, and those are probably the people that I'm yelling at on the interstate. Right. And they're the ones like, hey, sucker, I've had this car for 18 years, and I don't have to buy a new one.
Yeah, so. When you have to buy a new one at 86,000 miles, and they're getting a million.
Yeah, then who's the sucker in that case? All right, that brings us to story 6.5. It's where I give you half of the story, and you fill in the rest, or in some instances, it's just more like a fill-in-the-blank. And this one also an amazing feat, kind of like the million miles in the Honda Accord, but this one involves a man who crossed the Atlantic, a Frenchman, who spent more than 4 months crossing the Atlantic Ocean, has finally arrived at his destination in the Caribbean. He set off from the Canary Islands in Africa back on December 26th of 2018. So for
So he's like doing the same thing as the fight or die guys.
That's right. That's right. Except it took him a little bit longer to make it over here. So with that, what did this Frenchman, Jean-Jacques Savine, who left from the coast of Africa on December 26, 2018, and just arrived in the Caribbean, what did he cross the Atlantic in?
What cross the Atlantic? Can you tell me what it's? Can you tell me it's not a Honda Accord?
It is not a Honda Accord.
Okay, it's not a Honda Accord.
No, that would probably work though if you put.
And you wouldn't do the story. You wouldn't do the story because it wouldn't be a rowboat like the guys did.
That'd be
too easy. So what did he cross? And it wouldn't be a regular sailing boat, because that would make. Let me see a. Big inflatable pool raft.
Ooh, no.
Okay, but that would have been good if he'd gotten one of those.
Pool rafts. Swans.
Yeah, like, the swan or the. They have a flamingo now.
Mm-hmm. Pizza.
Pizza one. They have a burrito one as well.
I would argue that would be even more a bigger feat than what he actually did.
What'd he do?
Okay, so 71 years old. I forgot to mention Jean-Jacques Savine, 71 years old, left December 26th in a big orange barrel, and traveled at about 2 miles an hour.
Whoa. Like a 55-gallon drum barrel?
Here's an image.
Oh, okay. So it's a big barrel. It's like a lifeboat. It's like off an oil rig lifeboat.
Yeah,
barrel.
That's right. It is a monster. It is a huge barrel. It has pretty nice living quarters. I mean, you'd probably get tired of them after about two days.
You'd get tired by the time a wave rolls you, 360 four times.
Yeah, you're still living in a barrel. Yes. But this 71-year-old left, spent the first 4 months of 2019 inside of the barrel, Not sure he poked his head out at all. Traveled 2 miles an hour across the Atlantic from the Canary Islands, landed in the Caribbean this week. Said he relied entirely on the ocean current to guide his entire journey, and surprised the locals there as he came up on the tiny Dutch Caribbean island of St. Eustatius.
Eustatius, yes.
That was shortly after midnight last week. 2,930 miles in a barrel, 2 miles an hour.
All right. So, well, the thing is, though, I mean, he's retired, so he's got...
He had all the time in the world.
He's got time to do all that kind of stuff. There it is, 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. No, I said 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. Well done, man.
Thank you. Everybody have a great Mother's Day weekend.
Absolutely. Yep. Moms, thanks, y'all. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for your tolerance. All right, we'll be right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Last time we were talking about these faulty earplugs from 3M. And you said, hey, hold on. I'll come back because I got an event to go to in Washington. And this was a hearing in Washington, a MDL hearing?
Yes, we attended a hearing in Washington, D.C. at the federal court there. And there's a panel of judges, and they consolidated and sent the 3M earplug cases down to the federal court system in Pensacola under a judge there named Casey Rogers, a lady judge.
And I'm going to hit rewind for a second, though. If people didn't hear us talk about it last time, this all stems from issuance of earplugs that people in the military, this was the general issue, right? These earplugs.
Yes. From 2003 to 2015, 3M and another company that they bought out called Aero Technologies supplied the military with these defective earplugs, and it caused hearing loss for the troops that were wearing those earplugs.
Okay, so these were the earplugs, not that the troops chose to use. This is what they were issued. And you, as a Marine, as a veteran, I know this quite well, that you don't get to choose your boots. You don't get to choose your helmet. You don't get to choose your earplugs.
Right. You may not like what's issued to you, but that's what you have to wear. And you can either wear it and be a regular soldier or Marine, or you can do push-ups and get thrashed around and get sent to the brig or whatever happens. But yes, if you're issued something, you have to wear it.
All right. So since last time we talked, you were on the forefront of this, y'all, with Taylor Martino, I mean, right at the beginning of it. People by now may have heard some of the news accounts of this. Let's kind of go through some of the things that are known. So 3M has agreed, right, that these were faulty earplugs.
Yes. So last summer, 3M was sued by the federal government in a whistleblower lawsuit. And what that is where any entity or company defrauds the government can sue that company for that fraud. And so 3M was sued, and then in October, November, they settled that lawsuit very quickly. Now, obviously, they don't admit that they're at fault if they settle, but why else would you pay $9.1 million if you did not defraud the government?
So as people hear this, and it may affect them or a loved one with hearing loss that was issued these earplugs, The question of whether the feds believe this was faulty or not, that's already been answered.
Correct. I mean, the documents are out there, and there's a lot more to discover. As a matter of fact, a couple of the things that I would say infuriate me is apparently two of the key governmental players in purchasing and supposedly testing these earplugs They soon after the contract was made with 3M, they went to work for 3M making large salaries. And so I think there is an element of corruption that could possibly be there. I certainly want to find out, and other lawyers involved, we want to find out, you know, how and why that happened.
This is a lot of people that could be affected. You're talking about over a decade, 12 years here, right? So 2003 to 2015, this was the issue to earplug.
Yes. I mean, you're talking about the basis of the military is to use arms to defend our country. So the essential function of the military is going to be loud noises out there. And so you would hope that the earplugs that are sold to the government work. And these earplugs did not work. And 3M and Aero Technology knew they didn't work, but they just ignored that. It's pure corporate profit over the safety of our servicemen.
And if you're hearing this right now or you have a loved one, once again, 03 to 2015, it's a lot of people affected by this. Now, so I did the review, but I want to come back to what I started with. So you're back from Washington, you went to the hearing, and now you mentioned this is set in federal court in Pensacola. Is this one of many courts that's doing this, or is this where this moves to?
It's a sort of a technical federal procedural tool where if you have something that happens to a large number of people over the whole country, a federal court system doesn't want separate cases being tried all over the country, because then you're going to get all kinds of rulings on all of these, you know, it's common issues. So what they do, it's called multi-district litigation, is they consolidate for pretrial purposes all of the cases under one judge. And so for pretrial purposes, all of these cases have been sent to Judge Casey Rogers, the Northern District of Florida, right here in Pensacola in our backyard.
Wow. Okay. So then the next question, because this is federal, it doesn't matter that it's in Florida. This doesn't mean just for Florida people or just for Alabama people. This is going to be for, right, service members from all 50 states.
Yes. I mean, we're representing people from just about every state in the country. I mean, they're all over. You know, if you're in the military, one of the cool and unique things about being in the military is just interacting with people from all over, from all walks of life. You know, when you start off, they all have a shaved head in the Marines. Mm-hmm. They all have the same camouflage. There could be, you know, a guy from Brooklyn sleeping next to and fighting next to a guy from backwoods Alabama like myself. So it's really cool. I remember one guy from Brooklyn. I was in the Marines. He didn't know that you have to put bug spray on when you go out in the woods, and he had 26 ticks on his body. So we taught him about putting bug spray on. You know about that, Sean, right?
That's right. That's right. This is okay. So if there was ever something you were born to do, Ed, I mean, seriously, an attorney, but a Marine, this is the case.
Yeah. I mean, the Marines taught me so much, you know, in my life, and just never to give up, never to stop, never quit. You know, the patriotism that goes along with that, and just serving my country was fantastic experience for me. But so I love helping vets however I can and in any situation. And when I get to help vets in a legal context, I just love it. I mean, I'm fired up about it. And I understand their individual issues, having been there. And so having an opportunity where so many vets were taken advantage of and harmed, their hearing was harmed because of a greedy corporation, I'm very, very excited in pursuing this litigation. And we're handling every case from beginning to end. We're going to help prosecute the civil litigation. We're going to be hands-on every day, helping with every aspect of this case until it ends.
You speak the language for sure. So somebody hearing us right now, or themselves or a loved one or a friend that is in this window of time, let's talk about how they get on the phone, come to see y'all, get a meeting with a fellow veteran to discuss this.
I would just say Google us at Taylor Martino Law Firm, Mobile, Alabama, and you will certainly find our website, and you can find our number and give me a call. You know, we've got Amanda Summerlin, who's our dedicated, what we call our mass torts lawyer. That's all she does, 100%. And then we've got three paralegals that are dedicated to this case as well. So call us, and if available, I'd love to talk with you, or anybody else can talk with you there as well.
Very good. Ed, thank you as always for the update. Thanks for your time. Thanks for what you're doing.
Great to be here, Sean. Thank you.
All right, Ed Brown with Taylor Martino.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.